20 years ago, Baltimore had the worst lead problem in the nation. A third of the kids tested citywide had high levels of lead in their blood, and in some low-income areas, it was more than 80%. But today, things have dramatically improved in Baltimore. Lead poisoning is down 98%, due in large measure to a state law requiring lead abatement in homes. That law was based on a study done by the Kennedy Krieger Institute. Researchers there wanted to figure out how much lead needed to be removed from a house to be safe. So they moved families into new homes. In some houses, all the lead had been removed. In others, there was still lead. But now, two decades later, a class action lawsuit has been filed in Maryland, charging the researchers used kids in the Baltimore experiment as guinea pigs. David Resnick is a bioethicist at the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences.
I think what is an ongoing issue with this kind of research is when you discover risks in the home, what are your legal obligations or your ethical obligations as well to report those risks? One of the things in the study was the children's urine and blood had been tested for levels of lead, and they were looking at levels of lead in the homes. And the people that were suing in this case had argued that they were not informed about dangerous lead levels in a timely fashion.
Let's look at the research methodology. What they did, the researchers, is they divided 25 families into five groups, and three of those groups, they were actually moved into homes that had lead abated to a certain degree.
That's correct. There were really five groups. One group that would be in a home in which there was no lead, a group in which had been lead, but there had been full lead abatement. These were the so-called control groups. And then three groups in which there were different levels of lead abatement, ranging from almost full to just kind of minimal lead abatement.
And the parents were told how the experiment was going to be run, am I right?
Yes, they were.
So they gave their informed consent?
Yes.
And informed consent is when you participate in an experiment, you've got to be told what's going on there, right?
Exactly. You need to be told about the benefits and the risks of the study and what the study is about and your alternatives to participating in the study. It's much more than signing a consent form. Ideally, informed consent should involve ongoing discussions with the participants about being in the study. You have to also give your free consent, that is, there can't be any coercion or undue influence that would affect your decision-making.
Because the experimenters knew that there was a potential for some of these kids to have lead exposure.
Yeah, they knew for several months that these kids were having lead exposure that was above the recommended level of exposure, which would be potentially dangerous and something should be done about it, but they hadn't informed the parents in a timely fashion.
And the experiment wasn't stopped?
No, the experiment continued with this. Now, I think most people today would agree that if you have a well-known and well-understood risk like lead, that has to be reported to the research participants or their representatives. What is not as clear and is more controversial is when you discover things in the home which might be risky or maybe risky, we don't really know the risks, and whether these kinds of results should be reported or not.
The researchers were well-intentioned. They were trying to deal with a problem that Baltimore was trying to wrestle with, and not very successfully at that point. But this wasn't the Tuskegee syphilis experiment where the researchers intentionally withheld medication.
No, there was no intentional withholding of medication or even a possibly effective intervention. There were definitely benefits to the people participating. Many of them had to live in lead homes anyway with no lead remediation. So they were offered an opportunity to live in homes with some lead remediation. So arguably you could say they were better off in some ways because of the study. In no circumstances was somebody living in a home where there was no lead remediation. That would be like the Tuskegee study in which there was no medical treatment provided for syphilis.
But wasn't this using the kids to calculate a risk to the community when the community would benefit but the kids wouldn't?
Well, the kids were the so-called canaries in the mine, if you will. They were the ones that they were most interested in finding out about lead levels because the children have the highest susceptibility to the adverse effects of lead on their developing bodies and their developing cognitive abilities and everything like that. in this area in Baltimore where this research was done, there were lots of homes with lead paint in them that had not been remediated. So one of the main reason why they did the study was to try to develop cheaper methods of lead remediation that landlords could afford to use so they could go ahead and deal with the problem, and this could then help the community.
So to your mind, as an ethicist, was this kosher?
There were definitely some problems with the study that should have been addressed. I think you have to understand the research in the context of the times. We're talking about something that happened about 20 years ago now, and research oversight and regulation was not as stringent as it is now. I mean, a lot of the laws were the same, but there wasn't as careful attention to things. I've seen the informed consent document, for instance, and the informed consent document was pretty small and didn't really provide a lot of information. Today, that consent document would probably have a lot more information in it.
Would a study like this be designed the same way now, with just a more beefed up informed consent?
I have looked at other kinds of studies where they've been doing similar things, say remediation for allergens in the home. And, you know, they've enrolled families in studies like this, say a control group where they don't get any remediation for allergens in the home, but they get information about how to deal with the allergens, and another group where they do get remediation. And the investigators are very careful to, make sure that everyone is fully informed and understands what the results are, and that measures are taken to let people know about their study results and to make sure that they know what to do with those results and so forth. So studies like this are being done today, but I would say hopefully with much more greater attention to the ethics of what they're doing.
David Resnick is a bioethicist at the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences. The ideas he expressed in this interview are his own. Dr. Resnick, thank you so much.
Thank you.